Ziklag is way down here. Here's Gath. Here's Philistia right on the seacoast. Gath, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gaza, and Lachish. These are the five cities in Philistia that each had a king, and they were the five ruling kings of Philistia all at one time. All through Scripture, that held up. And so he asked for this little burg, this little nothing, down here to the south, which is, when you start getting down in this region, you're beginning to get into a dry, arid area, Ziklag, right there. Okay? And we'll be reading about Brook Bezor in a little while, right there. Okay, and there's the little town of Beersheba, which is the southern end of Israel. It'll always tell you in the Bible that someone was ruler from Dan, and Dan is not on this map, but there's a little town of Dan is right about where my light is, to Beersheba, which just means from the northern end to the southern end of the kingdom. Okay? And so, verse 6, Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. Now, I know that doesn't thrill many of you, but as many of you know, I've written a book, did a doctoral dissertation on Bible chronology. And man, that's the kind of stuff that just leaps out of the page at me, you know. I say, ooh, you know. And this helps in getting chronological things in order in Scripture. You'd be surprised, you know, once you start looking for these, how many of them there are. Verse 8 says, David and his men went up and invaded the Jeshurites and the Gerzites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as you go down to Shur, even into the land of Egypt. Shur is down that southern part, just south of Beersheba there, okay? And these people have, from the beginning of Scripture, you find these guys living down in that area. And especially the Amalekites. You remember when the Jews came out of Egypt under Moses' hand, the people that couldn't keep up, that were dragging at the back, the Amalekites, they were sons of Ishmael. They were Muslims before there were Muslims. In other words, before the religion, the Arab people were there, and they all come from Ishmael and Esau. Esau married Ishmael's granddaughter, and nearly all the Arabs, that's their lineage. Muhammad is a direct descendant of Ishmael. And that's one reason why in the Quran it says that Abraham didn't offer up Isaac, he offered up Ishmael. And they picked Ishmael because he's the firstborn and because they're kin to him. And of course, you'll remember Esau was also the firstborn of Isaac. And Jacob was the secondborn. But the Scripture says the lineage went through Isaac and through Jacob. Isaac and Jacob. Okay? And so... He begins to invade these old enemies. So the Amalekites, they came out, these nomads, these Bedouins, and began to attack the people that were at the rear of the column. And Moses had to tell Joshua to, you know, get some soldiers quickly and go back there. And God never forgives them in Scripture. He tells many men in Scripture, get the Amalekites. He told Saul, kill every Amalekite, wipe them out. And then he tells you why. Because they had no mercy on my people. They attacked the women and the children and the old people that were at the back of the column. And he said, you know, I'm not going to forgive them for that. And so, now that doesn't mean an individual Amalekite couldn't repent. But as a nation, they were going down the tubes. Okay? And so, it says in verse 9, David smote the land, left neither man nor woman alive, took away the sheep, the oxen, the asses, the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. Achish said, where have you made a raid today? And David said, against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jeremelites, and against the south of the Kenites. He lied like a dog. Now, beloved, this is a man after God's own heart. This is one of the great heroes of the Bible. But you see, he's on a downhill plunge. He's taken two wives. He's lost confidence in the prophets and in the anointing of Samuel. He's in the sin of unbelief. And one thing is leading to another. See, when you go to the enemies of God for help, you almost always get put in a situation where to get out of the problem, you end up lying. All right? Now, notice that God, listen, when God shows us that this man of God lies, He doesn't show us that to encourage us to lie. He's writing it down, Shirley Howard, to show us where it's going to lead. In other words, he isn't out of the woods yet. And this is supposed to encourage us not to make the same mistakes. In other words, listen to me, fellows. We're not a better man than David. God picked him to be king over his people. Listen, God doesn't pick fools to be king over his people. You read the Psalms. David is brilliant. Sure, he's being led by the Holy Spirit. But these are his words that the Holy Spirit is guiding him to. You can tell David is one sharp cookie. This is a man's man. This is a great warrior. Girls, he's typical of a lot of guys. In my life, I've known a lot of men that are the greatest guys alive for the men. He's a real buddy. You can really count him. He's a real great guy with the men. And he's a lousy husband and a lousy daddy. Can't tell you how many guys I know like that. Good friends of mine. I have friends in my lifetime that were wonderful. You could count on them because you were a man. But their wife and kids couldn't count on them for anything. So, what am I saying? That men of God have blind spots. We don't grow at the same rate in different areas of our life. In some areas, we may be growing very rapidly. And if that's the only area of my life that you're watching or that you're aware of, you may think, boy, Brother Floyd's a spiritual giant. But if you're around me in the areas that I'm not growing in fact, I may even be backsliding in. If that's the only area you see me in, you might think, boy, some Bible teacher. Now, girls, here's your problem. You're experts in spotting the ones of your husband that are the negatives. And that's a downer for you. It's hard for you to focus on the areas in your husband's life that God is moving him up and on with. And you get discouraged. Oh, if only I'd married a spiritual man like Brother Floyd. Yeah, well, let me tell you. If you were married to me, let me tell you what. Living with me a short time, you'd run back to Jesus real fast. Okay? Don't you say amen. That's my wife. And so, verse 11, David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will his manner be all the while he dwells in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, deceived him. The lie worked. He has made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. That's what Achish is saying to himself. Wonderful. He's attacked the south of Judah. The Jews will hate him forever. Therefore, he shall be my servant forever. He's so happy. The greatest warrior alive. He thinks he's got him in his back pocket now. Aha! David's lie worked. Just like fleeing into Philistia to get Saul off his back. Worked. Yes, sin works on the short run many times. The mistake Christians make is when we see it works, we think God must be blessing. Ta-da! Maybe, maybe not. You can tell in the long run. Listen to me. Christianity only works in the long run. It really does. If anyone's told you, just look, repent of your sins, receive Jesus as your Savior, everything's going to go great. You'll be rich. You'll have new cars all the time. No, that's the junk, the filthy junk coming out of Tulsa with the Word of Faith boys who don't know the first thing about faith, not Bible faith. I might add, if you notice, all of those guys have big cars, big homes. And the little women that support them, and that's who mainly financially supports them. Little widowed women. Little women that have been deserted by their husbands. They send all the money in. These guys live like kings. Do you remember how Jim Baker lived? Oral Roberts with his gold-plated bathroom. No fear of God. Oh, see, absolutely. You tell that, preach that message and you'll be rich. But the poor slobs that are dumb enough to believe it, well, that's something else again. You say, Brother Floyd is against. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Boy, have you got it backwards. No, I'm for God's Word. And they are gainsayers making money off the flock of God. You say, well, what about you? You've never heard me take up an offering, and you've never heard me make a financial appeal. Larry, I'm not sinless, but at least I got that part right. Okay? You hear what I'm saying to you? At least I got that. Helen, I got that much. So that's an area that Brother Floyd is growing in. But there's others. Well, we won't talk about them. Ah, good. Okay, so Achish is thrilled to death, the greatest warrior ever seen is in his back pocket. He thinks. Chapter 28, came to pass in those days, the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. Uh-oh, it's beginning to catch up to him. He hadn't counted on that. David is to be the shepherd and protector of Israel. He has been anointed to be their king. Now, his unbelief, his lack of trusting in God, his failure to do what he was told by the prophet of God, and his lying have fully caught up with him. Achish has every reason to expect he and his men to go to war with him. After all, David said, we've been attacking the south of Judah. The lie caught up with him. Lesson, just tell the truth. It's easier the first time. And besides, you don't have to remember what you said. See, if you just tell the truth, it's going to get hot. It'll may be hot there for a little bit. But that's better than trying to remember what you said month after month after month. See, one thing you can remember, usually, is what really happened. That's caught up with him. David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of my head forever. In other words, he says, David, you go into this battle and do what we both know you are capable of doing, and I will make you my personal bodyguard. But that's not what David was. What a demotion. David was the anointed king of God's people. Achish is offering him a demotion beyond belief. Question, had you rather be the king's personal bodyguard or be the king? Right? Salem? It's simple, isn't it? Okay? Now, Samuel was dead. You can read about that back in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 1. Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, past tense, notice, had lamented him, buried him in Ramah, his own city, and Saul had put away those who were mediums and wizards out of the land. Now, possibly one of the reasons Samuel is being mentioned here is, you see, Samuel had greatly defeated the Philistines at Ebenezer. You say, how did he do it? Don't you remember? He called the people to Ebenezer to repent. And he's praying. They've come, the nation, they're under the Philistines' boot. Philistia has conquered them. And there's almost no weapons. They've taken all the blacksmiths out of the country. There are hardly any weapons amongst the Israelis. And the Philistines hear that the Israelis are having a repentance prayer meeting over at Ebenezer. It wasn't named Ebenezer at the time. They named it that as a result of what happened. And so the Philistines gather their army and surround the Jews at their prayer meeting. Lesson. You can be in your closest moment to God and everything go wrong. See, we don't believe that. We don't think that. The fallen nature, our heart, that David has been relying on, is constantly deceived. We think, do you know, if I'm pleasing to God, if I'm having spiritual moments with God, well, then everything's going to go right. That's what holiness teachers teach. That's what the Tulsa boys teach. That if you've really got faith and you're really doing everything right, the blessings of God will flow endlessly. Yeah, they will, but they won't come the way you had in mind. See, one of the blessings of God is to let problems come into our life so that we can see what's in our heart and repent and grow. And that God can reward you and bless you with rewards forever. Not in this life, but forever. You see, and we don't like those kind of lessons. Look at me, look at me. I don't like those kind of lessons. It just happens that way. That is one of God's major MOs in dealing with us, because the fallen nature doesn't learn the easy way. God put it there for us. We can learn vicariously. I can read about David. I can see that sex sin got him in a lot of trouble. But boy, here comes this girl walking by me that if you threw her in the water, she couldn't sink in 10 years. And all of a sudden, I start thinking, well, well, well. Now, how can I do this and the Bible study doesn't find out about it? And surely doesn't find out about it. See? Our hearts lie to us. Because you see, before that girl walked by, I thought, you know, I'm so spiritual that nothing could faze me. Let me just tell you this. I'm too smart to go down to the local house of prostitution to preach to them. If they want to hear me preach, they can come here. But I'm not going in there with 20 naked girls so that I can show everybody how spiritual I am. Here I am. It doesn't faze me, doesn't bother me, doesn't touch me, liar. In other words, I'm wise enough to know to stay away. That's the best. Listen to me, fellas. The best way to stay out of trouble in sex sin is don't play with it. Don't kid around with the girls at the office. Because one of these days, one of them will walk right up to you and call your bluff. I think that God mentioned that Samuel is dead here to give us an idea of how it is that the Philistines are getting nerve enough to come back and reinvade Israel. In other words, it said, as long as Samuel was alive, when they surrounded them, the Jews at Ebenezer, Samuel prayed. He just prayed. And God brought about a storm with lightning and thunder, and the Philistines got all confused, fought amongst themselves. The Jews started chasing after them, picking up swords from the ones that had already killed each other, and they chased them for about 20 or 30 miles, and it was a slaughter. And the Philistines feared Samuel. They feared any man that could pray and defeat them. And so they've stayed away, but Samuel's dead. And even with Samuel dead, it's taken several years before they're ready to come in there and fight them again. I love that. You know, just in case any of that spirituality is still hanging around. Well, that's the way, hey, pagans think like that. You know, who knows, maybe the spirit of old Samuel is still hanging around. Now, look at verse 4. The Philistines gathered themselves together, came and encamped in Shunem. I'll show you where that is on the map in just a moment. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped in Gilboa. All right, now, drop. We're not going to take that part of the story for tonight. Drop down to chapter 29. Now, the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek. Let's take a look at our overhead. All right, now, what was just told you wasn't chronological. Take a look at the Philistines. Do you see this? See the Via Maris? That's a road that went right on the seacoast. And the Philistines almost always would march up that road and come into Israel from somewhere up to the north on a lot of their attacks. So the Pentapolis here, the five cities, Gath, Lachish, Ashdod, Ashkelon, they've gathered up their armies and all the little villages out. You know, they've all joined up with their king. And they've marched up the seacoast to Aphek, right here, okay, which is about midway up into Israel. And then they march on up to Shunem, which is right there. Now the Jews are at Mount Gilboa, which is about where, right through where that E is in the word Jezreel. In a few minutes we're going to see that they're going to go to Jezreel, but they march to Gilboa. So here's the Philistines, here's where the Jews are. Got it? You got it. I'll leave that up there so you can refer to it from time to time. Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek, and the Israelis encamped at a fountain in Jezreel. All right, Jezreel's a little town there, a very famous town in Scripture. That's where Jezebel and Ahab were from, right there. Okay. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the rear with Achish. Okay, so the Gath is bringing up the soldiers of Gath under Achish. They're coming up at the rear, and David is with them. Then said the princes of the Philistines, "What do these Hebrews here?" And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, "Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, who has been with me these days or these years?" How long? 1 year, 4 months. Now, that's 16 months. It could have been part of a three-year period. When he says these years, right? He could have been a couple of months at the end of this year, this full year, and a couple of months here. I'm just showing you, he says these years. So that's, he knows what's going on there. All right? He says, "I found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day. And the princes of the Philistines were angry with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, 'Make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place, which you have appointed him, down to Ziklag. Let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men?'" In other words, boy, what a great opportunity for him to kiss and make up with Saul. If being at the back of the battle, being at the back, suddenly he and his 600 fall on us. And we know these guys, you know. These are great warriors. Boy, wouldn't that make Saul happy, you know? And then they're buddies again. They said, "No way." Okay. Verse 5. "Is not this David, of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, 'Saul slew his thousands and David his tens of thousands?'" Woo! You know, it's hard. We just don't realize how our enemies, how the pagans know all about us. Even the Philistines knew the Israeli women were singing those songs. No wonder it got under old Saul's skin. "Then Achish called David and said unto him, 'Surely, as the Lord liveth.'" Now that's Jehovah. Notice, Achish knows all about Jehovah. Listen to me. A lot of you get so taken aback. You'll be talking to someone about their souls and they'll just say something nice about Jehovah. And you think, well, I thought these people were lost and pagans. You ask a Muslim about Jesus. He'll say, "Oh, Jesus is the Messiah." But let me tell you, in the Quran, it never calls him the Son of God. It always calls him the Son of Mary. Because the Quran says God has no sons. And it redefines the word Messiah. It doesn't give you the biblical definition of Messiah. They made up their own definition, and it comes out that he's the messenger to announce that Muhammad was coming. Okay? Quite different. And so, see, Achish says something nice about Jehovah. As surely as Jehovah lives, you have been upright in your going out and in your coming in with me. You know how embarrassing that must have been for David? Knowing that he's lied to him like a dog, for this guy to say, oh man, you're just the best thing I've ever seen. You're better than grits with red eye gravy. Okay? Yes. He says, you're going in, you're coming out with me, and the host is good in my sight, for I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. Wherefore now return, go in peace, that you displease not the lords of the Philistines. And David said unto Achish, but what have I done? Oh, that's really bad, y'all. That's really poor. You know, come on. See, now. See, again, some of you have a mental picture of what a great Christian man is supposed to be like. And you say to yourself, well, I can't believe a real Christian would ever make such a sin or do this. Shiloh, God isn't telling us this so that we'll emulate David, try and be like David, but rather that we'll see this, read the rest of it, and see what happens to him. Notice, he's already in this embarrassing situation. Hey, he almost had to go to war against his own people. Now, let's learn another lesson about God. David has screwed up. This is bad. I mean, this is bad. His lies, his unbelief, have gotten him into the situation where he is about to have to go to war against his own people. Here's the question. Here's why you came tonight. What does God do with one of his sons that fails him so ignominiously?